Chapter 3. Kashyyyk, Mitel Base. Hangar housing the Millennium Falcon. There were still bright spots before Han's eyes, right at the center of his focus, from the brilliance of the turbo laser blast he had almost flown into. He had to scan, traverse his line of sight, in order to work around them. Directly before him was an old sabacc table with a rusty rim and a grime-spotted felt surface. A brandy bottle and a set of tumblers rested upon it. Beyond was the Millennium Falcon, her boarding ramp down, with Wookiee utility vehicles and Confederation spacecraft parked beside her. The long hangar door the Falcon faced was open, showing riverbank, trees that were stunted and tiny by Kashyyyk standards, and skies filled with haze and smoke clouds dimming the sunlight. Other buildings were visible on the far side of the river, all remnants of a long-abandoned spaceport dating from the years of Imperial occupation. The medics had said the bright spots would fade within a few hours. Not that this was much comfort. He wanted to be working on the Falcon now, at this instant. Grinning momentarily at his own childlike impatience, he lifted his tumbler and took another sip of the liquid within it. It burned a little as it went down, a smooth, flavorful heat.
"What is it?"
Leia, seated in the spindly metal chair next to his, had seen his smile.
"I was thinking that if you're going to have to put up with enforced downtime, there are worse ways to do it than with a good brandy and your best girl."
In his peripheral vision, he caught Leia's smile. But her tone was slightly less agreeable.
"So many things wrong with what you said. First, you don't mention liquor before your wife. Then there's the whole girl-woman issue. But that's not relevant, because you clearly didn't mean it in a spirit of dismissiveness or disenfranchisement. But the phrase best girl implies there are other girls."
"There are. There's one now."
Han pointed. Descending the Falcon's boarding ramp was their daughter, Jaina. As diminutive as her mother, and as beautiful, though with narrower features, she had inherited her father's knack for mechanics, as suggested by her current form of dress, overalls spattered with spots of lubricant and hydraulic fluid. She had also inherited her mother's way with the Force, a fact attested to by the lightsaber hanging from her belt. As she descended, she wiped her hands on an oily blue rag, then noticed Han watching.
"Dad, all fixed."
"You're kidding."
Jaina shook her head, then took a chair at his table.
"Alima's attack did some damage, but she didn't have much time to root around in the hyperdrive before Mom interrupted her. I replaced a couple of parts, and it checks out in the green. You'll want to take her up and do a practice run or two, I expect."
"I expect. Thanks."
He gave Leia a sidelong look.
"I'm getting more obsolete every day. I don't even have to patch up the Falcon's battle damage anymore."
Leia gave him a smile tinged with malice.
"You'll never be obsolete, as long as some people prefer old-fashioned tactics and parts."
"It's such a shame you can't spank a Jedi."
There was a clattering of heels, and Han looked up to see Jagged Fel and Zek coming down the boarding ramp. Fel, son of one of the Empire's most celebrated fighter pilots, and nephew of one of the New Republic's, was a well-muscled man of middle height. His hair, neatly trimmed beard and mustache, black, a white lock at his hairline marking an old scalp wound. He wore a black flight suit. On a dark night, he would look like a face and hands floating in the air. Zek, Jaina's Jedi partner, was unusually tall, his long dark hair currently braided. Like Leia, he was dressed in ordinary Jedi robes. Jag held a blaster pistol, his finger not in the trigger housing, and as he neared Han, he reversed it, offering it butt first.
Found it.
Han set down his drink. He took the pistol, twirled it experimentally, and holstered it.
Now I feel dressed again. Where was it?
During your acrobatics, a hatch over one of the escape pods must have popped open. Your blaster fell into it, and the hatch closed and locked the next time you were right side up.
Thanks.
Han turned back to Leia.
Actually, I could get used to this. Have the youngsters do all the work all the time? Hey, somebody get me a drink.
Zek sat in the fourth and last chair, picked up Han's tumbler from where it rested, and moved it 2 centimeters closer to Han.
Your drink, sir.
Well, some chores are easier than others.
So?
Leia fixed the 3 newcomers with a quick, serious look.
Anything? Any sign of Alima?
Jag, still standing, shook his head.
None.
His voice was thoughtful.
Extra none.
Leia frowned, puzzled.
What does that mean?
Zek cocked a thumb over his shoulder toward the Falcon. Alima left behind no fingerprints, no threads from her robes. There weren't any skin cells on any of the bulkheads you said she hit.
Han scowled.
She had to have left fingerprints on my blaster. She pulled it to her with the force, caught it in her hand.
Her left hand, you said.
Jag's voice was thoughtful.
Yeah.
She has to have finally accepted prosthetics,
Jag considered.
Though the custom is to obtain prosthetics identical to your own original limbs, down to every mole and fingerprint whorl, that's not because of some unbreakable law of cybernetics. She could have gotten replacements without identifying features.
Leia shook her head, clearly unhappy.
So there's nothing to prove Alima was ever there.
Han snorted.
Nothing but a damaged and repaired hyperdrive.
Which still isn't proof. Zek gave Leia an apologetic shrug. We really don't have any forensic means to distinguish between the cuts of different lightsabers.
But why do you need proof? We believe you.
Because I'm not sure I believe myself at this point. I couldn't even feel her in the Force. Only Lumpy. I mean, Waru.
Leia looked around guiltily, caught in the act of using a childhood nickname abandoned by its owner. Fortunately, Waru was not in the hangar.
I don't even know how she escaped.
I have an idea.
Jaina frowned, thoughtful.
But it's pretty weird.
Let's go with weird. Much better than nothing.
Han paused to refill his tumbler, then waved the bottle around. A want one gesture. Jag nodded.
I'll have one.
Zek looked at him, startled.
Colonel Clean Living accepts a brandy when he might have to fly later in the day?
Who is it who says I need to learn to unclench before I lock permanently into a full-body grimace? Seems to me it was a tall Jedi with too much hair.
Jag accepted a tumbler from Han and gave the older man a nod of thanks before sipping. Jaina gave Zek and Jag an admonishing look.
Back to the subject. Instead of this attack of Alima's being some new tactic, a new piece of the puzzle, maybe it's actually an old one with a new coat of paint.
Leia leaned back in her chair, which gave off a metallic creak.
Let's hear it, sweetie. Remember when Jason and Ben went to Brescia Sio's asteroid? Ben had a fight with an evil Mara phantom.
Han and Leia exchanged a glance. Han shrugged.
You're saying we just fought a phantom?
A phantom wouldn't leave fingerprints, Dad. A phantom could vanish instantly from a sealed freighter.
Han shook his head. But Brisha Xio is dead. Her mother, Lumia, is dead.
Right, Dad. But we're getting reports that Alima is now piloting a craft that resembles an ancient Sith meditation sphere.
Han stared accusingly at his daughter, then at the liquor bottle.
Sacred brandy, you failed me. My daughter is talking, and I don't understand her anymore.
Jag smiled.
Like her father, she's prone to skipping steps when describing her reasoning.
He gestured to quell any protest from Jaina.
She means the only Sith we're aware of in all this mess is Lumia, and we know Alima has been associating with her. Alima probably inherited the Sith ship from Lumia.
What else did she inherit?
Perhaps some sort of weird Sith force technique?
He swirled his tumbler and took another sip.
Plus, I'm not convinced there even was a Brisha Xio.
It was Zek's turn to raise an eyebrow. What do you mean? Jaina's voice was soft but insistent.
Stay on target, Jag.
I'm on target. I'll discuss Brisha Xio later,
Leia considered.
So why was I seeing Alima, but feeling Waru?
Her daughter shrugged.
I don't know, but I suspect that your instinct not to cut her down was a very good one.
She's going to use this technique again, and she'll get better with practice.
Jag set his empty tumbler on the table, shaking his head at Han's silent offer of a refill.
So our need to find her is more pressing than ever, especially in light of the fact that she's the number one suspect in the murder of Mara Jade Skywalker. We don't want the Grand Master to devote more and more resources to hunting her down. Not with the Civil War becoming bloodier, more complicated. The Jedi are needed elsewhere.
Han nodded.
So you'll need Colonel Solo's shuttle. The one he used on the trip to that asteroid.
Jag looked dubious.
Brisha Xio, or Lumia, would never have let the shuttle leave with a correct plot of the asteroid's location.
Han grinned.
Just because you're young doesn't mean you have to be stupid, Jag. Sure, she'd have fixed the coordinates in the shuttle's memory. But go deeper into the shuttle's records. Amount of fuel burned, to the milliliter per burn. Duration in hyperspace for each jump. Amount of time after leaving hyperspace until the shuttle hypercom receives traffic, to the millisecond, compared with when that traffic was originally dispatched.
Jag considered and whistled again.
We'd need some high-end computing and decryption power to process that kind of data.
We can get it, Sonny. Talon Card or Booster Tarek will give it to us, if no one else. But first, we'll have to get aboard.
Han tried to prevent himself from grimacing, but couldn't. Not quite.
Aboard the Anakin Solo. Get a crack at the Colonel's shuttle. Planning session?
Jag nodded.
A couple of hours. You can calm around and get that computer time for us. We all need some downtime for our brains. Zek and Jaina wanted to get in some lightsaber training for when we do run Alima down.
2 hours.
Han rose, bent to kiss his wife, and marched toward the Falcon, feeling slightly better than he had when the talk had started. Better because things now made a little more sense. Better because he now had a direction. Then, vision still faulty, he stumbled over the bottom of the boarding ramp and was reminded that not everything was back to normal yet. Jaina and Zek left moments later. Leia debated going with them, getting in some additional training, but decided she'd had enough lightsaber work for one day. Jags stared a moment at Han's chair, then sat in it. He glanced at Leia, his posture typically rigid.
"Don't tell anybody I'm doing this."
"Doing what?"
Slowly, methodically, he leaned back in a typically Han Solo-esque slouch. Once his back was flush against the angled back of the aged chair, he put his elbow up on the table, propped his head against his hand. Leia laughed at him.
"How does it feel?"
"So wrong I can barely describe it. How has your husband managed not to sustain spinal damage all these years?"
"Stubbornness."
"Jane has certainly inherited it." "Stubbornness, I mean. Not bad posture."
"She got her posture from my side of the family."
Leia sobered.
"What did you mean about not being convinced Brisha Sio actually existed?"
Jag took a deep breath before answering.
"I can't say I have all the skills of a security investigator like Corin Horn, but I'm suspicious of anyone who seems to have only one purpose in life and then immediately dies."
He looked off into the distance, past the Falcon, past the walls of the hangar, past the smoke clouds and the burning horizons of Kashyyyk.
"Nobody had ever heard of her before she showed up on Lord. We've been able to trace a few of her movements and have a single garbled message that suggests she was Lumia's daughter. She died, according to Jason, who has never turned in a detailed report of what went on at the asteroid and is no longer available for debriefing, and the only consequence of her death seems to be that it provided motivation for Lumia to be on Coruscant, breaking into Galactic Alliance guard security and shadowing Ben, who may or may not have killed Brisha Sio. He certainly doesn't remember doing so. That's the sum total of her existence."
He held out a cupped hand as though to catch a falling raindrop.
"There's nothing there. People tend to leave more traces, more memories. It seems more likely that she was a fiction, an agent of, or an alternate identity of Lumia herself."
Leia studied him. Focused on some distant place, Jag seemed unaware of her presence, and in his eyes Leia saw a bleakness, an emptiness she had not previously noticed.
"Jag, you're leaving memories."
Startled, he looked at her.
"What?"
"You were comparing yourself to her, weren't you? To Brisha Sio. You have one purpose left to you, and when that's done, you wonder if you're just going to vanish, leaving no trace behind."
Jag's expression darkened. He sat upright, his posture once again rigidly military.
"Jedi mind tricks."
"I wasn't reading your mind, Jag. Just your face."
Jag rose. His voice became cordial but impersonal.
"I need to see about commissioning the building of some specialized gear."
He spun on his heel and strode from the hangar, boot heels clicking.